Father, as we stand before your holy presence, we come before your holy feet, Father, giving us this wonderful opportunity, Lord, to wash one another's feet in this wonderful body of people. And also pray, Father, for one another, Lord, to edify and strengthen one another, Father. And as we have prayed, Lord, that prayer that we made behalf of each and every one of us, Lord, is going to be answered, Father. And I thank you, Father, because you are going to fulfill the cry of your people this evening. Now, Father, we have come before your holy word. And I pray, Lord, that you open us the understanding of that divine revelation, your thought that you want us to know, Father. And I pray in Jesus' name, Amen. Though I said last Sunday that this topic would be, that last Sunday was the last one, but Lord led me to complete it with today, another short conclusion to the last Sunday's message. In fact, brothers and sisters, we started this series, studies on the body of Christ, exactly on the Communion Sunday last month. I think we have gone through in the last four Sundays, a very significant importance, which is very relevant to all of us who are part of the Bride of Christ. But I want to, today, enlighten you something much important and greater, what God desires as we who are the body of Christ. Just to understand this, something very important, we need to do that. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and understand something very, very important, which is the fulfillment exactly of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Now in Genesis, God says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, it should be God, it should be a mistake there. One word missing. One letter. So it should be image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You remember here in this first verse, it says God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, singular. And male and female he created them. When God created man in the realm of the spirit, you see, the Bible talks about the creative days. The creative days are not 24-hour days. It is not 24-hour creative days. It is creative period which God took to create the you know, recreate. In other words, it's a recreation or recreate, redoing it again. So when God created man in the realm of the spirit, first it is in the realm of the spirit because God spoke the word. And when God created man in the realm of the spirit, Eve was in him. The female was in Adam. So when God commissioned to be fruitful and multiply and replenish, the earth came to the Adam when that commission came to Adam when Eve was in fact in him. And you remember when God created man in his image, the Bible says that was on the sixth day. It's called the sixth creative day. In Hebrew word, it's called Melach. It means the creative period. That time is mentioned, creative period, that's what the meaning is. Or the creative day. But significantly, do you know that man is not created on the sixth day? Man is not really created in the sixth day because it is in the realm of the spirit when God spoke things, when God spoke everything into existence, but nothing came physically came there. But later, normally we think that the man is created on the sixth day. But let's understand whether the man is really created on the sixth day. Of course, when God created all these things, He spoke things into existence, finally created man in the realm of the spirit. Man was first a spiritual being. That was on the sixth day. In the verse chapter 2 it says, thus heavens and the earth were finished and all of the host. And on the seventh day, you see, that last verse ended with the sixth day, and it says on the Genesis chapter 2 starting, the heavens and the earth were finished and the whole host. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He made, and He rested on the seventh day from all of His work. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. So in the seventh day after creation, God rested on the seventh day. Now then it's fine here. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused the rain to upon the earth. And it says here, Genesis 2, 5 says, and there was not a man to till the ground. So the seventh day God rested, and then began something, and God said, the Bible says, there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up the midst of the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. And then it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into him his nostrils, breath of life, and man became a living soul. But in fact, it's really not the seventh day that God formed the man on the eighth day, really. It is really the eighth day that God formed the man. Not on the sixth day in the realm of the spirit, but God freely formed the man on the eighth day. Eight is very significant. This is really the eighth day. So God formed the man on the eighth day. Man became a living soul, signifying a new beginning. You see, God is the author of numbers. In the Bible, there is a separate book called Numbers. So God very specific with these numbers. A lot of people mess up their calculation, but God will never do that. God's calculation never taken for mistake. He is perfect in all His numbers. It's only in this book, holy book, has a book, separate book called Numbers. So what is 8 means? Always 7th means the completion. 8 is the new beginning. 9th is the number of perfection. So 8 is a very significant number for God. When it comes to new beginning, new thing, a change, everything related to a number 8. So Jesus was, so Adam was really created not on the 6th day, he was formed on the 7th, the 8th day. You see, 8 is a very significant number in the God's plan. Do you know when Jesus was raised? He was raised on the 8th day. He was not on the day of Sabbath. I'll show that to you. He was raised on the 8th day. Not on the 6th, not on the 7th, on the 8th day. So in the Bible, 8 had a very significant, you see this. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and your seed after the Genesis 17. Every man shall among you shall be circumcised, and he shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin as the token of the covenant between me and you. And he says, he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation, that he that is born in the house or brought with the money or any stranger. And Leviticus 12:30, and in the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin, on the 8th day of the child is born, also 8th day of the month. And also you find so many 8s coming into the play in the Bible when God ordained things, because it is a new beginning. What happens is, when God created Adam, it's a new beginning. Previously, that era when he created Lucifer and his angels and entrusted the planet Earth to them to take care of them. Of course, he took care of the planet Earth for millions and millions and millions of eons of time. Eons of time during the period of Dionysus, until things went wrong with him. He went with his beloved and fell from the heavens. So then God created a new beginning again through Adam, representing it's a new era altogether. That's why Adam was created on the 8th day of the 8th day. He was formed. So generally people think, okay, 6 days everything was over, but to see it is on the 8th day that God formed the man and got him, make him a living soul. So it's fine here very clearly, Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, that is mean the 7th day, as it began to dawn towards the first day, which is the 8th day. First day is the 8th day. Now today is the really the 8th day. It's the first day. Yesterday was the 7th day, the Sabbath. But today really is the 8th day, which is the first day. Mary Magdalene came and made her see. So it's in the, on the 8th day, the Lord Jesus Christ rose. Again, Luke 24:1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early morning, they came unto the sepulchre. So it's very clear from the scriptures that Jesus rose from the dead on the 8th day. What is the significance of this? Where the Bible says in Corinthians 15, so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that it was not first which was spiritual, but that which was natural, afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, the second man is of the Lord from heaven. As the earthy, as such are also the earthy, and as the heavenly, such are also the heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, you remember when Jesus heralded a totally new beginning. He the firstborn. He the first fruit. He is a new. He is a new creation. He is the beginning of the new creation. A new creation always starts with that number 8, represent that. So Jesus himself came and took the form of man and died on the cross for the sin of man, rose on the 8th day, heralding a new beginning, and that exactly that God has designed for you and me. Like when the Lucifer's planet was gone, the planet was totally void and darkness was prevailed, and then God has to move his spirit upon the planet earth and bring forth the whole thing back to the status where he can begin things. And that's why he looked at everything and says, behold, it is once again good. Planet earth once again good. And then he on the 8th day created Adam and gave him the instruction. What is the instruction? He says, be fruitful and multiply. And that's where Adam failed. That is why he was made a living soul, the first Adam. And the last Adam is a quickening spirit, the Bible says. Now, Genesis 2, Adam gave names to all the fowl of the air, and thus we know that. And then the Bible says God caused a deep sleep to fall to Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up his flesh instead thereof. And the rib which God had taken from man made he woman and brought unto him. You remember in the first chapter, verse 26 and 27, when God says God created man in his image, he created him, and then he says he created them. So in Adam was Eve, really, in him. So when God, now he does something here. Eve was in him, and here he put him to sleep and takes Eve out from Adam's side. He takes Eve out of Adam's side and he brings to Adam and says here, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Remember, you know, now God brings to Adam and he is put on to a sleep. God touches him, he is now totally sleeping, and then God touches and takes out, I don't know what kind of surgery it is, some way, it probably may be the most, advanced ever process, and God takes the woman out of Adam, that woman, and then presented back to him and says, "Here he is." You know, brothers and sisters, we, even as human beings, we still you and I, we have a little female in us. Every man has a little female, every woman has a little male. That's why, but sometimes when that gets imbalanced, men behave like men, women behave like men. That also happens when it imbalances. But what happens is, in us, that is why, you know, sometimes, now I like flowers. I like little nice things to observe and enjoy or look at it and you know. In the same time, you know, that's a quality of female quality. So every one of us that. But when Adam was there, he had that dual quality in the beginning. But God fully took that out and presented to Adam and says, "Here it is." And Adam looked at the woman and says, "Behold, this is my flesh, this is my bone." So what happens even, remember, if you go back to the very beginning, God's first creation, Lucifer. God's first creation, Lucifer, is a God beloved. He was God's beloved. And God looked at him and he loved him and says, "You are perfect." You remember, when Lucifer fell, he took his beloved also. One third of the beloved that was close to Lucifer also went. Now you remember when the woman that was taken from Adam committed sin, and Adam himself fallen. Now what happens here, we find in this, when Jesus, who is the second Adam, he was the quickening spirit, the Bible says, when he died on the cross, when the soldier took the spear, and where did he hit the heart, and from that came the blood and water, representing hitherto the bride that was in him, he was given back. You remember, I said the life of the flesh is in the blood. Life of the flesh is in the bud. And here we find Jesus say, this is my blood of the New Testament or the New Covenant or the New Agreement. In the first agreement, Adam and Eve, which was taken from the side of Adam, both fallen. Eve fallen, you see, it's really Adam could have, technically speaking, Adam could have saved himself. Because it is Eve who fell to the sea. He could have said, okay, you have done it, I'm not going to touch you. But Adam loved Eve, and along with he also went to partake because of the love Adam had for Eve. Though she has done it, the love was going towards him because Eve was a part of his body. He was part. He was one with him. And that is why he said, it was taken from him and he knew that he is his. So he loved her though she had done something wrong and he went along with him. So in Adam, you and I were lost in Adam. We were all in him who is the seed of God. And we were all lost until the Lord Jesus Christ came. And when he came as a second Adam, as a quickening spirit, as a quickening spirit, and when he offered himself on the cross, final wound he got, the final wound. He was wounded in his feet with the Roman nails, he was wounded in his hands, the crown of thorn upon his head, 39 stripes upon his body, and the final wound came to his heart by the Roman spear, and out came the blood and water, representing really the bride that comes out of him. Like Adam was put to sleep, the Eve was taken out. Jesus was put on the cross and bride was taken out. You understand that? Adam was put to sleep, the Eve was taken out. Jesus was on the cross, dying, and in the death of final moment, the bride is taken out, and Jesus says, this is the new. This is the new, and out of this side, like Adam's side, Eve came, from the Lord Jesus' side came the bride. And that is why the Bible says, in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Number 8, new beginning. Ephesians 2, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace. One new man. That ye put on the new man, which after God created in righteousness and true holiness. The reason that Jesus made sure that he gave that from his side to bring forth something new. And put on the new man which is renewed in the knowledge of the, or the image of him that created him. So what happened was, what was lost in Adam at that day now comes out from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says about the Lord Jesus Christ in Colossians 1, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn. Now Jesus is the firstborn. Like Adam was created a living soul, now here Jesus is a quickening spirit. He is the firstborn of every creation now. The every creation of God. A new creation. A new creation of God. For it says, by him all things were created, referring to not to the period of Adam, everything from now onwards, that are here, that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and in him, for him. Before all things and by him all things consist. Now it talks about not the past, but the future and the present and the future. New things that will come upon under his dominion. And he says, verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have preeminence. So, he is the head of the body, he is the firstborn, and he might have the preeminence. And that is why we come to this place. Verse 19. Jesus himself said like what Adam said. Have you not read? He that made in the beginning made male and female. He said, this cause man shall leave a father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be twain. These twain shall be one flesh. Therefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together. Now Jesus go back to when they ask about the divorce, separation. Jesus says, in the beginning it was not so. Now that is the exact thing that the Lord is going to bring to us. Because the Bible says in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The reason that you and I are the seed of God is that we conform to the image of his son, who is the firstborn of the new creation. You see, there are, God talks about the three creation. God works in three always. We have the Lucifer's pre-creation, prehistoric creation. Then we have the Adam, the second creation. And then we have the new, which is the third, Jesus, the second Adam. So the bride of Christ is joint heirs with Christ, will rule and reign with him. Now that is exactly the Lord said. About the Lord, he is the first fruit. He is the beginning, the firstborn. Now this has to be understood, brothers and sisters. In Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians. Now is Christ is risen from dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since one man came death, by one man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so shall be made alive in Christ. Now this truth has to be understood by you and me very clearly. It says here, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by one man came death, by man also came the resurrection. You remember, God created Adam in his image and gave him a woman taken out of him. Adam said, this is my bone. And God's commandment to both of them made fruitful and multiply, which they could not fulfill. As a result of that, for 2000 years, not 2000, maybe 6000 years, 6000 years, and 4000 years until the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were all lost in Adam. We were all lost in Adam. And there is all people who are born in sin. And in that era of Adam ended. Adam's era ended when Jesus born as the second Adam. He was born as the second Adam. And you remember Jesus telling the disciples,
He is telling the disciples about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is said about the Holy Spirit. He says, when He shall come, He shall prove of you, all of you, of sin. And He said, He shall be in you. Now I am with you, I shall be in you, He said. So, many things the Lord Jesus said. Also, what He said related to bearing fruit. When Jesus talks about the parables, or the first three parables, it related to the seed and the fruit. Seed and bearing the fruit. And Jesus being showed that He brought forth the fruit for the Father. When He died on the cross, He rose from the dead. He rose from death and He brought forth the fruit to the Father. And then He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I would like to read a portion of scripture here. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain. But it may chance of wheat, or may other some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him. To every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of a beast, another of fishes, another birds. There are also celestial bodies, there are also terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, there is another glory of the moon. Another glory of the stars, and stars differ from one another. So is also the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, raised in power. It says it is sown in weakness, raised in power. Now there is something we need to understand here with regard to what the Lord did. What happened to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? When He sighed, the blood and water came, representing the way that the bride of Christ comes out of Him. And when the bride of Christ comes out of Him, when Eve came out of Adam, and then God brings Eve to Adam and says, here it is. And Adam looked at Eve and says, this is my body, this is my bone. And He says, it shall be one. And He says prophetically, if a man leaves father and mother, they shall join together, they are one. Now what happens is, the blood and water went out of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day has to come, where God has to present to the Lord Jesus Christ the body that was taken out of Him, and so that the Lord Jesus can look and say, this is the bone of my bone, this is the flesh of my flesh. And that process has to take place, and I believe that is what the Lord is doing to the group of people through the fivefold ministry. When God in Christ, we were lost. In Adam we were lost, in Christ we were given opportunity to be born again. And Jesus said in John chapter 12, signifying some very significant thing, verily, verily, Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now Jesus here talks about his own death. He says, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it died, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now when Jesus shed the blood, and when he rose from the death, and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. And then he told the disciples, tarry ye until you are endued with power from above. He said, because remember, he breathed on them after the resurrection and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But they could not. It was not given to them. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth and all over. And then he said, tarry till you be endued with power. Now when Jesus, representing that corn of wheat, if it did not die, and there was no possibility of bringing that fruit for you and me, because the Bible says he is the first fruit, he is the first begotten, he was the first of the brethren. So he was the first begotten, was first fruit. And then he, because he died, he brought the fruit. And I think, brothers and sisters, there are two possibilities for the bride of Christ. If you are the bride of Christ, there are two possibilities that is going to happen. One is, Bible says, dead in Christ shall rise first. If any of the true children of God, they are dead, and before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, any one of us are going to be in that category, the Bible says dead in Christ shall rise first. The second category is we who are alive shall be changed. If God is going to permit you and me to wait till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and I would have the opportunity of the ministry of the seven thunders, the Bible says that our bodies are going to be changed. And that is the glorious hope we have. But whatever the way, if you are raised from the dead, or if you are changed from this position, we would have some status where Jesus would identify and say, like Adam says, this is my bone, this is my flesh. Because there are so many other things around the who are supposed to be calling him themselves the body of Christ. But Jesus very clearly going to identify his body very, 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 very specifically, and he is going to pronounce and say, this is my body, this is my flesh. Brothers and sisters, a lot of people will, though we talk like that, many of us don't have the understanding what we are talking about. We know that when we die, the Bible says the flesh and blood will not inherit the earth. Yes. We also talks about the glorified body. Glorified body. What do you mean by the glorified body? Because the scripture says we are sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown in weakness, raised in power. There are two examples I would like to give it with regard to the resurrection. In fact, on the books I was reading, on these Jewish books, a Jewish sage, a rabbi, very respected rabbi, about 1,000 years ago, he was he had a relationship with the emperor, Roman emperor, who was ruling that territory at that time. So emperor's wife once met this rabbi and said to him, "I also believe in the resurrection, but I want to ask you a question. When you rise from the dead, what is the body, what is the status we have? Are we going to have any clothes on us, or are we going to be naked people?" You know, I know when we are dying, we decorate ourselves in the best suits or in a coffin. But I know it's after some months that dress decays. So when we rise from the dead, are we going to go and look for a tailor or Hamidias or some place to buy a suit? So that question was asked from this rabbi. So rabbi was told, he said, "Take a little seed like this. We know this seed comes with a dress. You take the apple, it's a beautifully dressed. This seed covers with the dress, the flesh, the dress. Any seed has a dress. Outward it looks beautiful, whether it's mango, apple or coconut, anything. So the seed, when it comes to the seed, that's the naked part of it. But he says, when this naked seed, when it goes to the earth, and you know, Jesus says, the corn of wheat falls to the ground and die means this strong covering. You know, we know sometimes in ladies, they break the coconut. It takes a lot of effort to break the coconut. Even so, any seed. What happens is not much effort is needed when you go under the earth. This covering breaks. What is inside comes out. Naked it goes to the ground. But when it comes out of the ground, it comes clothed. Nice trunk, branches and blossoming flowers, and then the fruit. The naked it goes to the earth and it dies there, but it comes out gloriously. And I think that is exactly what is going to happen to all of us. When we die in Christ, when we rise in gloriously. Same thing is significantly seen today. Every day we see. And I see that very much every day. And I see every day, evening time, where the sun becomes very small. A small 1 foot size, small red circle. And it submerges in the sea little by little, it disappears. And it disappears, it goes thereafter. And in the morning, it comes from that side with all its majesty, with all its splendor and glory. Nobody can look at it. How wonderful that God has shown us in His own creation this thing that is going to happen to all of us. Because the Bible says, we will be raised in incorruption. We will be raised in glorious body. We will be raised in power. You will be sown in weakness, raised in power. When sun goes in the evening, it goes in weakness. Every child can look at that. And it goes down little by little, and the sea takes over. But in the morning it comes with its power. And the brothers and sisters, when that happens, when we are, you see, in a marriage, you know, in a marriage what happens? Marriage takes place in the wife's place, you know, in the wife's place. the bride's place. And once the marriage is consummation, and then that is over, and the bride is taken by the bridegroom and presented to the father and says, homecoming to the bridegroom's place and presented to his father and mother, my bride. So God is looking for the day when the Lord Jesus Christ look at his body, which is the bride of Christ, and says, here he is, here she is. And brothers and sisters, and I think that is what is all about the broader body of Christ. We are taken out of the Lord Jesus Christ, out of his sight. And we are the new creation. We are the new creation of him. And in the new creation, this fivefold ministry is in the process of bringing us to the stature and the measure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that process also is not an easy process. And as I told you many times last couple of Sundays, perfection means chipping off, and that is a painful exercise. So it is the change. So it is the death and resurrection. You know, death was not an easy thing for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an agonizing thing. It was a painful thing. He said to the Father, if it is possible, take this away. It is a painful thing. My God, why hast thou forsaken me, the Lord Jesus said. So the death as well as the resurrection, you have to die for to be raised. And you have to be completed to the stature to make change. You know, people generally don't like change. You know, change is something people don't like. When the change takes place, it is sometimes we resist it. But the Bible says this flesh and blood will not inherit. This seed will become a beautiful tree when that process takes place. You and I are brothers. Is the seed of God. Jesus said to the sower, sow the seed. You find the good seed and the bad seed, the tares and wheat. You see the mustard seed. So it always talks about the seed of God. If you and I are the seed of God, and this seed is given to me and you, the word. And when the word is given to you, we are in the flesh. And this seed word is given to us. Our flesh part is, moment by moment, we get rid of it. And we become full of that word, like the caterpillar. Finish eating. So brothers and sisters, there are two definite expectations you and I would have. That is, we will fall into these categories. Either we would be dead in Christ, or either we would be the living element that is going to be changed. This body is going to be changed. You remember, I saw that caterpillar in the process of that change moment. When the wings come out of the body, and when it changes from caterpillar to butterfly, it is the most crucial moment. The most crucial moment there. And it is a lot of struggling. And the Bible says in Book of Romans, the creation also groaneth. It groaneth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The manifestation. The whole creation also is impatiently groaning. So it is, we are come to that status when we fully come to that level, like the seed, when we come to that full word seed, there are two things that will take place in our lives when we go down to the earth and we will blossom to be what the seed represent. You see, Jesus gave himself. He gave himself and he expect his body to be like it, like him. And he will not have something shorter or lesser than that. Brothers and sisters, this is very important. Every time you see a sundown and every time you see a sunrise, think about the change and the resurrection. Think about the fact that Jesus, from the side of him we came. Now we are the people who are born of the blood and water. And we are the people, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his quickening spirit, and made us heirs of salvation. We are heirs and joint heirs. We are heirs and joint heirs. And finally, when the Lord looks at you and me, like that time Adam looked at Eve and says, "Behold, this is my flesh, this is my body." Brothers and sisters, the day would come very soon. The Lord would look at us and says, "This is mine. This is part of my body, truly. This belongs to me. This has borne that fruit that matches the first fruit." You know, in a tree there is a first fruit. The first fruit of the tree is a symbolically giving the taste. Like, you know, you give something first taste to see the balance. You know, you find, you know, when you go to very key tasters, you know, you taste the quality, the first thing. And the first fruit of a tree is the one that comes with all the real taste, with in all inclusive. He the first. And then we are going to be also have the same, because he died not less than that. And I think, brothers and sisters, and I believe we are part of that. And Jesus is going to call you and me and say, in that day, like Adam was said, "This is mine. This is my bone, this is my flesh." And we are one. We are not two. We are joined together. That is why if he is the head, we are the body. We are one with him. He is in me and I am in him. And we are one in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Brothers and sisters, this evening think about the fact that you and I are going to be raised from the dead, if we are going to fall into that category of dead in Christ, or if we are going to be the category of the people who are going to be living element. It is going to be the one who are going to change our bodies, that will match the very first body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then God, Jesus would say, "This is mine. This is what I have given." And I pray right now that every one of us would recognize. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.